Like you to take your Bibles, turn to the book of Luke, chapter 17. Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17. And I want us to see a little bit of the sequence here of a passage of Scripture, Luke chapter 17. It tells us in Luke 17, verse 20, when he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come. Now, it is important that we understand that there is coming a kingdom, and there is coming a day when this world is going to be turned upside down from what it is now. You know, today we call it right wrong and wrong right, but one day there is going to be a kingdom that Jesus Christ is going to rule and reign. And we're told that this kingdom begins within us. Verse 21, the kingdom of God is within you. And then verse 22, and he said unto the disciples, the days will come when you shall desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and ye shall not see it. And they shall say to you, see here, see there, go not after them, nor follow them. For as, and this is how the coming of Christ is going to be, as the lightning that lightens out of the one part under heaven shineth unto the other part under heaven, so also shall the Son of Man be in his day. And it tells us here in verse 26, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be. Verse 28, likewise as it was in the days of Lot, so shall it be. In other words, what were those days like? We've mentioned this on several occasions. People are going to just be basically living life and ignoring the fact that there is life after death and there is coming a kingdom. And we're told that, verse 31, in that day, he which shall be upon the housetop shall, and his stuff in the house, let him not come down. Verse 32, remember Lot's wife. And whosoever shall seek his life shall lose it, and whosoever shall lose his life shall preserve it. I tell you, in that night there shall be two men in one bed. The one shall be taken, the other left. Some have taken that to understand to be the rapture, but it's talking about there's coming a day when there's going to be a day of judgment, and some will go into the millennium and some will not go into the millennium. In verse 37, they answered unto him, well, where will this take place? And he said unto them, wheresoever the body is, thither will the eagles be gathered together. Now, what we are dealing with here is something very important, and we're going to kind of end this message tonight the way we're going to begin it, that there is coming a day when the body is and the eagles will be gathered to them, and there's going to be like vultures around blood. What are we talking about? We are talking about the Battle of Armageddon. Just recently, our president said we're getting ready to enter into Armageddon. But the fact is, the Battle of Armageddon will not occur until certain events take place. The first event that's on God's timetable of future events is what? Do you know? The rapture of the church. And then after the rapture of the church, there's going to be 7 years on this earth. Now, if you remember, we looked at the fact that one day we're going to be in heaven, and those of us who are raptured will be with the Lord. We will be judged according to our works. We're told in 2 Corinthians 5, chapter 5, verse 10, there is what's called the judgment seat of Christ. Our bodies will be different than what it is now. And we're in heaven, but while we're in heaven during that 7-year tribulation, there is going to be a chaotic time on this earth. That day will not come of the rapture of church will not come except there be a falling away. I mean, Christ will not come back except there be a falling away first. There's going to be apostasy on this earth. There's going to be a one world religion. There's going to be a one world government. We've looked at all those things. And we see that as a result of that, there is going to be, during this 7-year period, seven seals, seven trumpet judgments, seven bowl judgments. But one of the things that we have to understand is how this whole thing crescendos until the time that Jesus Christ comes in this earth. And it crescendos with the battle of Armageddon. And it will end the 7-year tribulation period, and then the Lord Jesus will come back. So when the president says we're about ready to enter into Armageddon, number one, if that was really the case, he really believed that, he better get right with God. But number two, it cannot happen at least until another 7+ years if the rapture were to occur today. So what is the battle of Armageddon? And I think it would be worth our time to just spend some time this evening trying to understand that. Now, one thing it is not the events spoken of in Ezekiel 38 and 39. Now, I deliberately bypassed that whole passage. I was always very moved as a young Christian when a famous evangelist got up and preached the coming war with Russia. As a matter of fact, let's look over to Ezekiel chapter 38. And I do want you to see something that is somewhat interesting. I'm not sure what year the version of my Bible, my Ryrie Study Bible is, but I didn't look at that. But we're told in Ezekiel chapter 38, in verse 2, Son of man, set thy face against Gog, the land of Magog, the chief prince of Meshech and Tubal, and prophesy against it. And they are going to, and we're told here, and I wanted to read, and I mentioned the year of my Bible. It's interesting. He said the word Gog, this is Ryrie, the derivative of the word is uncertain. It probably refers to the ruler of the people who live in Magog. Magog was identified by Josephus. Josephus was a first century historian as the land of the Scythians, the region north of and north and northeast of the Black Sea and east of the Caspian Sea, now occupied by three members of the states of Russia, Ukraine, and Kazakhstan. So I just found that interesting. So so we can look at this war with Russia, and we can look at the war with Ukraine. And whatever is involved in all of that and where we are in God's timetable, it's just fascinating that Ezekiel 38 and 39 tells us that Russia from the north is going to come down. And if you were to look at Israel on a map, you'd go directly north and you'd see Moscow. And some have understood that Moscow could be Meshech. And Tubal could be the eastern capital of Tobolsk. But the battle of Armageddon, I don't believe, is that battle. And there's various reasons that I could spend with you on that, because probably, in my thinking, that coming war with Russia will happen at the beginning of the tribulation period. And the reason for that is for the years it takes for them, as the scripture says, to bury and to clean up. So the battle of Armageddon is not Ezekiel 38 and 39. Study that passage, by the way, and you'll see that in that passage, Israel is a land, a city of unwalled villages, which means that it's going to be in peace. So the Antichrist is actually going to make a peace treaty. Daniel chapter 9. So what we are dealing with is a campaign. If I were to ask you, what day did the Vietnam War, what day was that fought? What's that? A lot of them. It was a campaign. If I said, what day was the Civil War fought? You say, well, it happened over a period of time. When we talk about the battle of Armageddon, we're not talking about a one-day battle. We're talking about a campaign. And so I want us to kind of get the sequence of this campaign. I want us to begin with the second minor prophet. Now, what's the first minor prophet? Hosea. What's right before Hosea? It's one of the major prophets. All right? And that major prophet is Daniel. So, when I'm looking at a couple of these passages, just keep in mind, you've got Daniel, you got Hosea. We're not going to look at Hosea, and then we're going to see Joel. All right? So let's go over to the book of Joel. Now, if you have any sense of where that's in your Bible, great. And if not, there's always an index, all right, in most Bibles. The book of Joel, chapter 3. Now, I want you to see that we have, and to show you the context, it says in chapter 3, verse 1, "Behold, in those days, in that time, when I shall bring again the captivity of" who? "Judah and Jerusalem." So when we see passages like the north and the south, we're talking about geographically in relationship to Jerusalem. Okay, I got a map up here, and you can see that Jerusalem is right in the center of this blue, and we'll explain that in a minute. But it's interesting because he says in verse 9, "Proclaim ye this among the Gentiles." Prepare what? War. "Wake up the mighty men. Let all the men of war draw near. Let them come up." And he's basically putting out a warning. God is saying, beat your plowshares or your agricultural tools into army tools, swords. Now, this is going to be the opposite of what you're going to see in the millennium. In the millennium, it's going to be take your swords and beat them into agricultural tools. Farming equipment. But now we are ready for war. And he says that, "Let the weak say, I am strong. Assemble yourselves and come, all ye heathen, and gather yourselves together round about hither, thither, thy mighty ones to come down, O Lord, and let the heathen be wakened." And it's interesting because what we find here is that there's a preparation for battle. Now, we're going to see that this is going to be at the end, right before the second coming of Jesus Christ. Now, to get a good sense of what's happening here, let's go back a couple books. Now, hold your hand in Joel. We'll come back to that in the book of Daniel, chapter 11. Now, again, if you'll notice, I'm not trying to prove the basis for our prophecies and what we're saying, because we did all of that in our introductory study of what prophecy is, why we take things literally and so forth. The book of Daniel chapter 11, and I want you to notice that if you begin in verse 36, it talks about the king that shall do according to his will. Now, who is this king? Well, we already saw and we spent some time looking at the Antichrist. And it says that he will exalt himself magnify himself above every god, and shall speak marvelous things against the God of gods. Now we know, as we saw in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, he will set himself up in the temple and make himself as God. And it tells us that speak about this guy. Now if you notice in verse 37, neither shall he regard the God of his fathers. And it says that in his estate shall he, verse 38, honor the God of forces. He's going to be a big military guy. And a God whom his fathers knew not. And we're told in verse 40, at what time? At the time of the end. So we're talking about the end right before the coming of Christ. And he shall the king of the south. Now, we don't know all the details of this, but we do know that even Daniel said, I don't know if I understand all of this. And God tells Daniel in chapter 12, verse 9, go thy way, for the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end. So what he is basically saying here, though, is that at some point toward the end of the coming of Christ, the end of the beginning of the millennium, which we'll get into, he says that the Antichrist shall the king of the south push against him. Now we say, who is this king of the south? We don't know exactly, but we do know in verse 43 that Egypt is involved. Verse 43, Libya is involved. Verse 43, the Ethiopians are involved. And obviously, when you look at Israel, we talked about the north with Moscow, but south is Egypt. And it tells us that this king of the south is going to, in a sense, come against the Antichrist. Now, we could speculate. Maybe they said, you know, we've given this guy way too much power. We better stop him. Now, if you know anything about World War II, that's what happened with Hitler. He was so friendly to everybody, and then he would break his promises. And next thing you know, he's trying to conquer the world. And he had to be stopped. Well, apparently, this is what's happening with the Antichrist. But not only is there the king of the south push against him, the king of the north, verse 40, shall come against him like a whirlwind with chariots and with horsemen and with many ships. And he shall enter into the countries and shall overflow and pass over. So now we have the king of the south, the king of the north, and if you can kind of see here that they're coming against Jerusalem. Now, we're also told that it says in verse 41, he shall enter into the glorious land. And we're told that there is the king of the east. And where is that at? Verse 40, at the end, time of the end, shall the king of the south push at him, the king of the north, like a whirlwind. And verse 41, he shall enter into the glorious land and many countries. In verse 42, he shall stretch forth his hand. He shall have power. Here it is, verse 44. But tidings out of the east and out of the north shall trouble him. Now, if you remember what we saw last week when we were looking at the seven bowl judgments, that in Revelation chapter 14, we don't have time to go back there, Revelation chapter 16 is going to tell us that there is this army coming out of the east. Revelation 14, do you remember what the size of that army was? Anybody remember? 200 million, 200,000. 200 million army force from the east. So if you can get this idea that the Antichrist is going to be totally surrounded. Because why? Because remember, he's in Jerusalem, setting himself up as God. And it tells us that they shall go forth with fury, and they will come and try to destroy. So all of a sudden now, all the nations are going to get involved. If you know, go back over to the book of Joel, chapter 3, Joel chapter 3, it tells us in verse 2, I will also gather all what? Nations, and will bring them into the valley of Jehoshaphat. Now I want to talk about this a little bit. Because if you were to read Revelation chapter 16, it tells us that this army is going to come, and it says they'll be gathered together to a place in the Hebrew tongue, Armageddon. So Armageddon is literally Har-Megiddo. And you have what is known as the Valley of Megiddo. So if you look at this map here, you can see that Megiddo is right up here, Megiddo. And then we're going to find that this is going to be a battle that's going to go from there all the way into Edom. Now, to quote one individual, this is what he says. The staggering dimensions of this conflict can scarcely be conceived by man. The battlefield will stretch from Megiddo on the north to Edom on the south, a distance of 1,600 furlongs, approximately, we see this in Revelation, approximately 200 miles. It will reach from the Mediterranean Sea on the west to the hills of Moab on the east, a distance of almost 100 miles. It would include the valley of, as we see here in Joel, Jehoshaphat, which is probably the valley of Kidron. And I've been to Jerusalem, and on the west side, I believe it is, you have the Valley of Kidron. Kidron is the place where they slaughtered the children. And they sacrificed children to their God. And it's interesting because I'm going to bring them down to the valley of, this is Joel chapter 3, verse 2, the valley of Jehoshaphat, and will plead with them there for my people and for my heritage. What's the nation? Israel, whom they have scattered among the nations and parted by the land. Now, if you notice here in verse 9, he said proclaim because there is war. And then as we saw in verse 13, verse 12, but notice verse 13, put ye in the sickle for the harvest. Now, it is an interesting hymn. You ever listen to the words of the battle hymn of the Republic? Now, we think of it as a patriotic song, but this is what it says. It says, mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. He is trampling out the vintage where the, what? Grapes of wrath are stored. He hath loosed the fateful lightning of his terrible swift sword. His truth is marching on. So just like you would take a sickle to harvest the wheat, God is going to take the sickle of war and he's going to harvest mankind, and the grapes of wrath are full. And just as you would press down grapes, we're going to see that there's going to be a multitude and multitude of people killed, and it's going to be filled with blood. Now, verse 14, multitudes. This is Joel 3, verse 14. Multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision. And this is where God is going to make His final decisive decision to finally come back. You know, we keep saying, come Lord Jesus. Well, one day God is going to come back and He's going to destroy the wicked. All wrongs will be made right. All right will be made wrong. And it says, for the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. The sun and the moon shall be in darkness, and the stars shall withdraw their shining. And the Lord also shall roar out of Zion and utter His voice from where? Jerusalem. And the heavens and the earth shall shake, but the Lord will be the hope of His people and the strength of the children of Israel. Now, if you can imagine an area that big and all the armies of the world are coming to verge on this one spot. And it's interesting because God is the one that's making sure that they're all there. Now, I want you to go over to the book of Zechariah. Now, Zechariah is the last of, second to the last of your Old Testament books. The book of Zechariah, chapter 12. Now, what I want you to see is in Zechariah chapters 12, 13, and 14, you're going to see a little expression. And to my counting, 17 times you're going to see that day. In those three chapters, and this is the day of the Lord, as God is going to judge mankind. Now, if you'll notice with me, in chapter 12, verse 1, the burden of the word of the Lord for who? Now, the point I keep making here is that God is now going to vindicate Israel. Israel has been under the rule and the control of Gentiles. And it says that the Lord is going to stretch out the heavens, and He's going to, verse 2, I will make Jerusalem a cup of trembling unto all the people round about. And in that day will I make Jerusalem a burdensome stone. And in verse 9, it shall come to pass in that day, I will seek to destroy who? All the nations that come against Jerusalem. So we're talking about the same period here. And again, you can study this out and go through it very systematically. But what you're going to see is that all these nations are coming up and they're coming against Jerusalem. And we're told that in verse 9, and I will pour upon the house of David. Now, who is the house of David? What nationality is David? Israel. And I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplications, and they shall look upon me whom they have pierced. Who did they pierce? The son of David. Revelation chapter 1, I believe it's in verse 7, quotes this verse about the revelation of Jesus Christ. And it says, and they shall mourn for him as one that mourneth. Now if you go to Romans chapter 11, you're going to find there is going to be a great repentance of the Israelites. And they will get things right with God. And in chapter 13, in that day, there should be a fountain open to the house of David. But let's go over to chapter 14, because this is where this battle continues. And we see in chapter 14, behold, the day of the Lord cometh. And thy spoil shall be divided in the midst of thee. And I will gather who? All these nations have come in against Jerusalem to battle. And the city shall be taken, and the houses rifled, and the women ravished. Half the city shall be caught up into captivity, go forth into captivity. And the residue, or the rest of the people, shall not be cut off. Then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations. So what the scripture tells us, and whatever brought those nations to Jerusalem, probably the Antichrist, we don't know, but all of a sudden they're going to see that there's an invasion coming from the sky. And guess who that is? It isn't a UFO. We're told, it says that in verse 3, then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations. As when he fought in the day of battle. So verse 4, his feet shall stand in that day where? Where's the Mount of Olives? In Jerusalem. Which is before Jerusalem on the east, and the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof toward the east and toward the west. And there's going to be a great valley, and half of the mountain shall move toward the north and half toward the south. And people are going to flee in the valley of mountains because this is the valley of decision. And it shall, verse 6, come to pass in that day that the light shall not be clear nor dark. But it shall be one day which shall be known in the Lord, not day nor night, but it shall come to pass at the evening time it shall be light. And it shall be in that day that living water shall go out from Jerusalem. Now, it's interesting because it tells us in that day, verse 12, this shall be the plague that will happen, wherewith the Lord will smite all the people. Can you imagine this? That have fought against Jerusalem. Their flesh shall consume away while they stand upon their feet. And their eyes shall consume away in their holes. And their tongue shall consume away in their mouth. And there's going to be, verse 13, a great tumult from the Lord. And we're told that there is this entire situation in which Jesus Christ comes back. And we're told that he is going to come and he will basically set up his millennial kingdom. And Judah, verse 14, shall fight at Jerusalem, and the wealth of all the heathen round about shall be gathered together. And there's going to be this plague that we mention. And it shall come to pass, in verse 16, that everyone that is left of all the nations which came against Jerusalem shall go up year to year into the millennium. So what we find here is that this battle is ensuing. It has an earthquake we saw in chapter 14, verses 4 and 5. There's this plague that comes in chapter 14 of Zechariah, verse 12. There is victory for Israel in verses 13 and 14 of Zechariah. The mountains, and I want you to go over to the book of Isaiah. You staying with me? Some of you are tired. The book of Isaiah, because this is a campaign that we see in chapter 34 of the book of Isaiah. And if you notice with me, verse 5, it says, my sword, and the Bible is wonderfully consistent about this, Isaiah 34, verse 5, for my sword shall be bathed in heaven. Behold, it shall come down upon Idumea and upon the people my curse to judgment. And it tells us, the sword of the Lord is filled with blood. It is made with the fatness and with the blood of lambs and goats and the fat of the kidneys of rams. For the Lord hath a sacrifice where? Where does it say? Bozra. So what we are dealing with here is we're talking about Edom. So this battle is going like this. And the scripture tells us that there's going to be this great slaughter. Now, if you go over to chapter 63 of the book of Isaiah, chapter 63, are you staying with me? Look at verse 1. Who is he that cometh from Edom? with dyed garments from Bozra. This that is glorious in his apparel, traveling to in the greatness of his strength, I that speak in righteousness, mighty to save. Wherefore art thou red in thine apparel, and thy garments like that treadeth in the what? Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. He has trampled down the vintage where the grapes of wrath are stored. And we see that the Lord, He is, in verse 3, trodden the winepress alone, and of the people there was none with me, for I tread upon them in anger, and trample them in my fury, and their blood shall be what? Sprinkled where? In my garments. So the Messiah comes back, and He goes on a campaign to fight His enemies. And blood is sprinkled up on Him. And we're told in verse 6, and I will tread down the people in mine anger and drunk in my fury, and I will bring their strength to the earth. Now, Revelation chapter 19, trying to bring this to a close, very fascinating study. Revelation chapter 19 and verse 17, and this is, if you remember in chapter 19 of the book of Revelation, I say you remember, if you know this, in chapter 19 verse 11, I saw heaven open and behold a white horse, and he that was upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth what? Judge and make war. His eyes are as the flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. Where did he get those crowns? If you remember Revelation chapter 5, that when believers are before his throne, they will cast their crowns to Jesus. And it's interesting because it says, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a what? Vesture, a garment, dipped in blood. And who is this? What's his name? The Word of God! In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So he comes to this battle. The world has gone crazy. Half of the population of the world has been destroyed. And he comes to this earth. But he has with him, verse 14, the armies which were in heaven. And they're clothed in linen, white and clean. And again, I believe that's referring to the believers who have been raptured. When Christ comes back, we come back with him. And out of his mouth, verse 15, goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should do what? Smite what? The nations. Now verse 17, and I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls. Remember I told you we would come back to this in Luke chapter 17, and I want to read that one more time to you, because they said, where, Lord, will you come back? Luke chapter 17 tells us, wheresoever the body is, thither will the eagles be gathered together. So what's going on here? All the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather yourselves together unto the what? Supper of the great God. That ye may, and he's talking to the fowls here, that ye may do what? Eat the flesh of kings, and the flesh of captains, and the flesh of mighty men, and the flesh of horses, and of them that sit on him, them, and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great. Lord, when you come back, some people think, oh, it's going to be wonderful. We just get to go to heaven. No, he's going to come back and he's going to smite the nations. Vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. And he that is in heaven will laugh at those nations that mocked him. Psalm 2. And the scripture tells us that we need to see the glory of the coming of the Lord. He has trampled down the vintage where the grapes of wrath are stored. I have seen his, what does it say? I have seen his, what does it say? Terrible swift sword. His truth will march on. Folks, there is coming a day that this is Armageddon. And when somebody comes along and says, we're going to have a world war that's going to end the world, they have no clue, many times, is what the Bible says. And I think it's important that we understand that God is a holy God, and He will bring into judgment. And man's sin, thankfully, was judged in Jesus Christ. And that's why we must accept Him by faith. And it's important that we understand that there is coming a day that He's going to one day make all wrongs right. We have to just trust the Lord. If you have your prayer sheet, I just want to mention that we do want to be praying for